scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. As the Edmonton Oilers bounce back and even up their series with the Chicago Blackhawks, a 6-3 win, another track meet of a hockey game. And the Edmonton Oilers were plus 144 coming into tonight as far as the series price was concerned. Heavy favorites before the series started. They lose game one, and then suddenly they're plus 144. They get a 6-3 win, and we get a nice win because we parlayed the Edmonton Oilers with the Minnesota Twins, if you were tuning in to Game Time Decisions earlier this evening. And what's pretty crazy is the Twins were losing 4-0, so I jumped in on the Oilers again because I was like, oh, man, because I had like an hour and a half before the Oiler game started. So I was like, well, I tried to get a head start on this at plus 157 or whatever. And didn't work out, lose the Twins. Twins never lose. Of course, they lose tonight. But no, the Twins came back, tied the game 4-4. Then they went on to win 5-4. So I hit the parlay, and then I hit the play that I put the Oilers in again. So I doubled up on the Oilers, and we hit the over this evening. So nice run there. Edmonton 6, Chicago 3. Carolina's rocking the Rangers like a hurricane. Another 4-1 win for the Carolina Hurricanes. Now up 2-0 on the Rangers. And don't forget, it's only a 5-game set. Rangers all but done. The Winnipeg Jets would have been all but done if they didn't get a win today, but they did. A 3-2 win over the Calgary Flames and what you could call spirited. And that's an understatement, all right? They hate each other. They freaking hate each other. Pittsburgh Penguins dominated the Montreal Canadiens, although it was a close game all night because Carey Price stepped up large. We'll take a look at Tuesday afternoon's NHL playoff hockey. That's right. We got playoff hockey in the afternoon in August. Why? Because 2020. That's why the Los Angeles Lakers wrap up the number one seed in the West. All that was basically a formality, but they do get it done. They're now 2-1 in their three games. Of course, they lost to the Raptors over the weekend, but they get it done against the Utah Jazz. 116-108. Final score. Mike Soroka is out for the year. Freak injury. Falls off the mound. Sports Rage late night. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Sports Rage late night continues. Vent your rage. I am Gabe Morenci. A wild, wild day of sports begins at noon Eastern and pretty much goes until about 1 in the morning right now on a nightly basis. We've got to enjoy what we have right now. It's like water in a desert, so to speak. After all this, after the pandemic and, basically isolated sporting events, UFC cards, NASCAR races, MLS soccer games. Now we're just going wire to wire right now. And listen, as you know, most of you tuning in right now, not everybody. Some people tune in for the laughs on the show. Some people tune in for the rage. But the majority of you are pretty much degenerate gamblers. And especially now, most people are at home for the most part due to the COVID and the pandemic and all that. So basically, I said this before, though. I said people like used to panic about being stuck inside and, you know, they get all angry and, oh, this lockdown and quarantine and all that sucks. But now that there's sports on all day, people don't seem to mind suddenly, right? It goes to show how basically we've wasted our lives watching sports. So we better be making money doing it because then we can say, no, we didn't waste money. We were investing and winning, And if you're investing in the Toronto Raptors in the restart, you've been winning. Let's take a look at the NBA situation that went down today. First game up was the Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat. Raptors' first game was against the Lakers team that already played on Thursday night against the Clippers. So a lot of people thought the Lakers had an advantage against the Raptors. But, you know, the Raptors generally don't get a lot of public respect. At least they don't get media respect, and that's a fact. But they get sharp money respect. And, you know, the Raptors line against the Lakers, you know, was coming down. It was down to 2.5 by the time they tipped that game off on Saturday night. The Raptors were very impressive on the defensive end. They shut the Lakers down. The Lakers only scored 92 points. You know, put in context, tonight the Lakers put up 116. Big difference, 24-point differential, right? So the Raptors clearly are sending a message that, you know, we're going to play defense. And that's one thing, too, in the past. You know, the Raptors weren't always this juggernaut. You know, they weren't. And they didn't understand, like, defensive intensity like this. But they do now. And it was really the Kawhi factor. That's why I can't hate Kawhi from a Raptor perspective, because of the influence that he had. And he's made everyone just better and understanding their responsibility defensively, if, like, that's what you need to do if you want to win a title. And a lot of teams in the playoffs in the NBA will try to play defense suddenly, right? They're going to raise up their level of defense, but they don't do it naturally all year, so they're not very good at it. Like, the Raptors, like, already are good at it, and you see the modern NBA player, quite frankly, just isn't used to dealing with a competitive defender, somebody that's, like, you know, competing and defending the shot. There's so many free looks in the modern NBA. So the Raptors do a good job on the defensive end. It's interesting. They had an easier time with the Lakers. And it's ironic that the Raptors have beaten the Lakers 11 straight times now. And it's crazy because they couldn't beat LeBron with the Cavaliers, but they can beat him with the Lakers. Now, the Miami Heat, you know, is a little bit different. It's a conference rival. The Heat and the Raptor games are always close, except the Raptors always win close. Like, that's sort of the theme here. And it's interesting because they were 3.5-point favorites. And you remember last night, Big Man on Campus joined us, and he goes, he'd go up to about 3.5 here. And they ended up winning by 4, 107-103. The game did stay under the number. The total was a little high. The game stayed under the number. The next game up was Denver and Oklahoma City. Crazy game. Oklahoma City are the best team against the spread in the NBA. They were laying 5.5 points in this game. It's not really a role you want to really start doing with Oklahoma City all that much. But the thing is, they cover all the time. Like, they used to cover as underdogs all the time, but then they started covering and just killing teams. So the odds makers are tired of it, and they're making them big favorites now. You know, so they were 5.5-point favorites. Chris Paul could have won the game at the end of regulation. They were down by 1. Chris Paul goes to the line for 2 free throws. This dude never misses. He misses one of them, so the game ends up going to overtime. But because he missed, the over bettors cashed their ticket. One of my poor bets today was the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are terrible. Yeah, it wasn't a great pick. They were getting 9 points. They nearly covered. They lost by 11. It was 111 to 100, but I didn't go big on it, but that wasn't, I've been pretty focused in, like, identifying better NBA games to hit. The Grizzlies and the Pelicans. The Pelicans have been struggling so far in this bubble, and it's somewhat of a surprise that they were struggling because they were looking so good early. They looked good in the exhibition games in the bubble. They went 3-0, and then when it got real, they had problems. You know, the Utah game, they could have won late, right? Brandon Ingram hits that shot, they win the game. So we'll give them that. They got smoked by the Clippers. Nice win for them tonight. They needed it. Memphis suddenly have problems. Memphis are 0-3 in the bubble right now. And Memphis have all these teams knocking on their door. And as I stated, there's going to be a million teams to get within 3.5 at this rate. We'll get you caught up with the standings. Philadelphia and San Antonio was a wild one, guys. It was a wild one. We jumped in. We took, we went 2-0 on this one. This one was nice. The total was 227. It was that high, but it was that high for a reason. They put up 262 points, guys, and the game didn't even go to overtime. 132-130 final score. 132-130 final score. The Philadelphia 76ers get the win. Yet it was San Antonio who get the cover. The game clearly and obviously went over the number as well. Pressure's on the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixer fans are they're done with Brett Brown. Philadelphia 76er players are somewhat done with each other. Milton hit a big three tonight, and it's interesting because Milton and Embiid got into it the other night. And, like, really, like, who the hell gets into it in your first game in the bubble? Your first game in the bubble. You know what I mean? Like, I can understand tempers flare after you guys have been in the bubble for, like, 2.5 months, and it's in the playoffs, it's hot as hell, you're tired, and you're losing, and, you know, at the end of game five, you exchange words or something. I get that. But, really, the first game in the bubble, you guys are getting into it? Like, that's the thing. And then tonight, Milton hits the three and then beats all his buddy after the fact, but it could go the other way. One thing that's funny about Embiid, I'll give him credit for this one, is Embiid said, like, he wants the Philly fans to boo. But it's funny because I remember last year, bro, when they were booing, you were crying about it. I remember he goes, oh, in Toronto, if a Raptor player misses a shot, they support him. He goes, here, if we miss a shot, they yell stuff at us. He goes, it doesn't help us. So now you miss it, evidently. He's, you know, Joel Embiid said he thought it'd be cool if, like, the, you know, the fans on the video screen in the NBA, the fans on the screen could boo the Sixers so he could feel at home. So, you know, listen, the Sixers needed this win just for their own confidence and just so, like, you know, that people don't implode on them and, like, freak out. But it's hard to buy into the Sixers here moving forward. They're a fragile operation. Their coach is on thin ice. They have chemistry problems on and off the court, it seems. You know, it's hard to buy in to the Sixers. To me, the Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks really are on a collision course. And the Raptors are really good defensively, but Milwaukee can score on the Raptors. And the Raptors are going to have their hands full against the Milwaukee Bucks. But Milwaukee hasn't been playing good defense in this bubble. Milwaukee keep getting into these close track meets themselves. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger. Just take it. Take the ball. That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Sports Rage Late Night. I am Gabriel Morenci. Busting the bubble. Let's do this thing. Talking NBA basketball right now. So, of course, you know, the format is if you cut the lead to within 3.5 games, you get to play in a play-in series, the ninth-place team. Yet the eighth-place team would only have to win one game. So if they win the first game, then they, you know, they're in. But then it would... If the ninth place team wins the first game, then you play another game. And if they win that game, then they're in. Yet if you look at the standings right now, due to the fact that Memphis keep losing, everybody's caught up to them. Everybody's caught up to them. So Memphis are in eighth place right now. They're 32-36. The Portland Trailblazers are suddenly only two games behind them. you got to only be 3.5. So, like, the Blazers suddenly have played themselves into this thing. The Blazers are 2 games behind. The San Antonio Spurs are 2 games behind. The New Orleans Pelicans with their win tonight. That's why this game was so big, man. This game really was, it was like one of those double swing type games. If you were the Grizz, like, you really could have screwed the Pelicans over. You know, like, because as it is now, like, the Pelicans suddenly, now the Pelicans are 2.5. So, like, they're in the mix. Sacramento is only 3 back. And Phoenix are now 3.5 back. So what are they going to do? They have like a 16 play in here? You know, it'll somewhat work itself out as we move forward. Yet Memphis better start winning basketball games. Otherwise, they're going to be on the outside looking in. And, you know, looks like Portland might be that team. San Antonio, listen, San Antonio are scoring a lot of points. They're 2-1. They could be 3-0, but they could also be 1-2 or whatever. Like, San Antonio are just playing crazy, close, high-scoring games. You know, Portland could play themselves into this. Now, in the end, does it really matter? Are they going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers? No. I was kidding myself when I thought that the Pelicans could make a series of it with the Lakers. I don't believe that now, and seeing, you know, the way the Pelicans are playing. I overestimated the Pelicans. San Antonio would get murdered. Portland would be interesting. Portland and the Lakers would be somewhat interesting. Only because on any given night, the Portland Trailblazers can play with anybody. But the Lakers have officially wrapped up the one seed in the West. Now, there's no competition going on. Like, the East is just a train wreck at the back end here. It's a train wreck. The Washington Wizards came in, like, not really having a chance, and now they really don't. Like, the Wizards are done. The Wizards are 7 games back. It's not happening for them. So the Wizards are just playing out the string before they can leave the bubble here. And it looks like Brooklyn, being the poor bastards that they are, they're going to hang on to this 8 seed. They have a depleted roster, and they're going to have to play the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're on Brooklyn, like, you better like your job. You better like playing basketball, because it's not like it's a big party, right? You're in the bubble. You're in quarantine. You know you're not winning. There's no way in hell. Like, there's not even, like what's the percentage of chance that the Brooklyn Nets beat the Milwaukee Bucks 4 out of 7 times with this roster that they have? Like 0.6% or something, 0.4. Like, they have no shot. Like, they're wasting their time, and they know it. Like, they've got to hang around just to get dunked on by the Greek Freak for like 10 straight days. Like, that's going to be fun. That should be 8 days, every second day, 4 games every second day. So you're nearly out of there, guys. If you're Brooklyn, you'll be out of the bubble before the end of the month. You still got to hang on another 3 weeks or so in here. But, yeah, Washington's not happening. Brooklyn's not going to catch Orlando. So it would be Orlando and Toronto again. And that's what it was last year. So in case you're wondering, too, about a point spread, they're actually playing tomorrow. The Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks, 17.5. 17.5. That's what the Milwaukee Bucks are giving Brooklyn. FanDuel, 17.5. The Dallas Mavericks, -6 against Sacramento. This will be an entertaining game, actually. And it should be a very high-scoring game as well. The total is 237 for a reason. Wow, 237. That's welcome to the modern NBA. The Phoenix Suns are 9-point underdogs against the LA Clippers. The total is 230 points in that basketball game. The aforementioned Orlando Magic are 2-point underdogs against the Pacers. Boston and Miami. Tough spot for Miami playing Toronto today, now playing Boston back-to-back like this. Boston are 3.5-point favorites over the Miami Heat. And the Houston Rockets are 4.5-point favorites over the Portland Trailblazers, which this game's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night. We'll have our eye on this one. Houston -4.5. We'll be looking at Portland as an underdog. The total, 244 points. 244 points. All right, let's do an NHL line check right now. And the NHL just has a little bit more of an edge to it right now just because it's the playoffs. And if you'll notice, I really haven't wasted any time with the non-playoff games. There are like other top-seeded teams that are going to be jumping into the fray, but they're just sort of playing these, you know, get-ready games and technical seeding games. But let's focus in on the playoff games. The New York Islanders and the Florida Panthers are the first ones up at noon Eastern. The Islanders are minus 125. The total is 5.5. And it's one of these deals where it's like, let's not overthink it. You know, no need to overthink it. We took the Islanders in the under in game one. And it's a fair price at minus 125. If there was any team that it appears as though that really, really sort of going to benefit from the layoff and the pandemic was the New York Islanders. Like we talked about it in the past. If it wasn't for the shutdown in the NHL, the Islanders weren't going to make the playoffs. Like the Islanders were in a freaking free fall. All right. Normally, like defense responsibly, a responsible team in their own end. They were just falling apart. They couldn't score. They couldn't keep the puck out of the net. The Islanders couldn't do anything right. And it was uncanny. Like they literally were falling apart. They had a ton of injuries. It was a bad year. They were falling apart. They weren't going to make the playoffs, but they got this layoff and suddenly they're back in business. They got healthy and it seems like they got their sort of game plan back, which is to play the trap, low scoring, and it works for them. Now it's been an under. That's the way this stuff's been going in the National Hockey League. It's hard, like even the 5.5s, we're going to see like if the book's going to start posting some fives, throwing some fives up on the board if they keep on going under the number. But we're going to go under the number in this game. Give me the under 5.5, and I'm heavily leaning with the New York Islanders again. Arizona and Nashville are up at 2:30 Eastern. We went contrarian with Nashville in game one, even though I know they're not good. And I'm done with it. I'm going to take the under in this game. I don't love it. It went over in the first game. One of the few games it did go over. It went over 4-3 final score. I don't trust Nashville. And, you know, Nashville are going to be desperate in this game. If I had to bet it, I would take Arizona plus the 115, to be honest with you. I'm going to just continue to ride this under train. I'm taking the unders unless, like, basically how many games have gone over? Like playoff games, not the non-playoff games. And even the non-playoff games are going under. But how many have gone over the number? Two? Now in total, three, I would believe, right? Three. I think we're 15-3 to the under. Both Blackhawk Oiler games have gone over the number, and the Nashville Arizona game one went over the number. Every other playoff game has gone under. Am I missing one? Like off the top of my head, no. That's what it is. I think it's now 13-3. 13 is because it's been 16, right? I think there's been 16 games now. It's, you know, like I said, it's hard. The only, like, and I don't bet overs that much in hockey. I usually bet an under in hockey or I'll pass. But even me, I'm looking at the Chicago Edmonton. I'm like, man, it's fire wagon, old school hockey. So we're gonna hammer the overs. I was somewhat surprised to see Columbus and Toronto turn into that game. Now, listen, if the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing in a scoreless game or they're playing in a 1-0 game, that's not where they want to be, right? That's not their comfort zone. The Leafs didn't play poorly. It's not like, you know, a case where it's like, oh, man, we got dominated. They're way better than us, or we have this problem, we have that problem. No, Columbus's goalie played really well. You know, the puck just didn't bounce their way. The goal was a soft goal. You know, listen, the Leafs goaltender, Frederik Anstrand, played well, but the first goal that he let in was a backbreaker. You just can't let that in. Yet now the pressure's on the Leafs for real. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
You got 9-3 to the under NHL playoffs, not counting the non-playoff seeding games. But you know, goals have been tough to come by. So the games that went over, the Oiler games with the Blackhawks, which were to be expected, and people expected fire wagon hockey, and that's what it's been, fire wagon hockey. It's amazing. The Edmonton Oilers were +144 on the series price coming into tonight's game. And are they back on track now? Probably. Connor McDavid can be awesome, yet it hasn't translated to any success for the Edmonton Oilers. Connor McDavid pretty much took the team on his back tonight and, said, get the hell out of my way. I'm Connor McDavid and you're not. That's what went down tonight, actually in Edmonton on his home ice. And I was thinking about that actually when I was watching the Leafs. We were talking about like the comfort zone, and it is like it has to be an advantage for you. And, you know, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you actually are playing at home. You know, and the thing is, the Leafs don't really get much of a boost from their crowd anyways. It was interesting talking with Jason earlier, in which he said, you know, he's not as cynical as I am about, and listen, no one's really going to be as cynical as me, but about the fans. But I'm telling you, fans are jerks. Fans are jerks. Like when we say that, when I say, they don't care, like I'm not trying to play the victim. I wouldn't miss the fans either if I was them. You know, we talked about this with Big Man on Campus last night when he was sort of like, oh, it's their job. They got to go do this. I'm like, why don't I have to do anything? Teams, like I said, fans don't care about players. You don't care about their life. You don't care about their injury. You care about Mike Soroka right now that he's in the hospital? No. You know what I mean? You know, that's his job, right? But somehow he's supposed to care about you. I love the twisted nature of like today's fan. Like, oh, I can't believe it didn't stop and sign me and all that. Like, what do you do for them besides like criticize them? Like, they do good things for the community and still get criticized. Right. And then they get traded. They get cut. And then they're told, oh, you know, shut up and go play. You're lucky to play a kid's game. Like, I got to be honest with you. Fans have never been as annoying as they are in today's era. And I mean it. I guarantee it. I'll bet it that the only thing that players miss about fans are hot chick fans. I'm telling you. You think they miss, like, you know, you think the Raptors, like, miss me at the game? Like, honestly. No. You know, I was at their playoff games. Did I have an impact on the game? No. Did they know I was there? No. Well, they did when I yelled at them to play better defense when I was behind their bench. But, you know, like we seem to think as fans, like, you know, like it's that we have some sort of like importance in this. Like we don't. We're just annoying people that boo them and rip them. And I see it all the time. As soon as Kyle Lowry misses a shot, oh, he sucks, right? Like people are fake ass fans on Twitter and stuff. Like athletes, like I remember years ago, Carl Everett said like 95% of fans are morons. And I said, oh, and everyone got mad. And I said, no, he's wrong. It's like 99%, 97% essentially. Look at the stupid comments that you see from fans about sports takes now all the time.
Like, especially now during this Corona stuff with players. Like, look at the stupid takes that you hear from fans. Fans basically think athletes are, like, just basically circus animals there to entertain. They think that somehow because an athlete has a pro contract that they're lucky. Like, somehow they're lucky and then they owe society something because they worked every day of their life since they were, like, 9 years old. Missed out on a ton of fun stuff growing up because they were always practicing or playing a game somewhere. And somehow, like, they owe society something after. They should risk their life to play for you, right? They should stop and sign, you know, so you can go in and resell it after. Like, you know, like honestly, like, it's not just sports. It's people as a whole. Society as a whole has never been as putrid and as stupid and as selfish as it is now. So it's no different. Sports fans are just a function, and sports fans are people, and people are part of society. Like, let's just be real. Like, there has never been a time in society in which people are this stupid. There is a virus that is killing, like, you know, nearly a million people worldwide right now, and people argue about it. People, like, you know, look at, like, honestly, like, you know, look at the bad takes that you see on, like, everything now. Like, I'm not going out on a limb and saying, like, the high level of stupidity is real. The high level of stupidity is real. In society as a whole, people have never been dumber. I'm not young either. And people have never been dumber than they are today. People can barely understand my tweets. And, like, my tweets are like, barely Shakespeare. Like, no one understands sarcasm. Like, people are just dumb. I'm just being real. People are dumb. They're short-sighted. They have short attention spans. They're stupid. They're selfish. Their biggest problem in their life is they lost their cell phone once at the amusement park or something. Like, you know, nobody knows anything about anything. No one has empathy for anything. Nobody, like, you know, like, honestly, nobody has empathy. Do people care that there's 160,000 people dead? No. That's why I always say, like, do you care about athletes? No. Why should they care about you? Like, I don't understand that, like, that double, you know, that whole thing that somehow, like, they owe people something. They owe. And, like I said, that whole lucky thing. Listen, Kevin Durant's a jerk now, but Kevin Durant's not lucky. Kevin Durant didn't win a lottery. You know who's lucky? Someone that wins a lottery. Joe Sixpack walks into a 7-Eleven, plays a lotto ticket, wins the Powerball. He's lucky. His life was changed through no skill, through no work, through nothing of his own. That is luck. You know, you fell into riches. You had no pertainable skill. You didn't put any work into anything more than you already do. In your normal job, you went into a store and you bought a lotto ticket and you won and now you're a multimillionaire. That's lucky. A professional athlete that has practiced and applied his craft and a professional athlete who has a skill that is in demand in a percentile that they are willing to pay him hundreds of millions of dollars, that's not lucky. That's because he put the work in and because he's highly skilled. And he worked on those skills. You know, like the old, like, God-given ability stuff. When you, like, that's another thing that pissed me off. You think people, like, these players just sort of like, oh, yeah, he was just born that way. And, you know, he never worked at all. But, you know, he just showed up and he was in the NBA and he started dunking on people. Never put an ounce of work in as a kid. Never did anything. Just, you know, like, people are just naive. And then somehow they expect, like, and, you know, and we get into this. And that's, you know, the players that opt out, that's why you're rich. Like, isn't that the point of becoming rich? So you don't have to work in a pandemic? We'll see what happens in a National Football League with the opt-outs. We'll see what happens with the opt-outs. I did want to get to college football, though. Quick, and we'll go to the pipelines here. But college football news, which conferences do we study up on? What's the status? So let's just cut to the chase right now. The SEC is starting on September the 26th. So we have a little time to prepare for the SEC still. The Pac-12, which was pretty negative about everything, the Pac-12 is also starting September the 26th. And that is if there's not a revolt of Pac-12 players that are threatening a revolt. But nevertheless, they're scheduled to start shorter season, not no non-conference games, blah, blah, blah. But so SEC, September the 26th, Pac-12. So they're pushing it back 3.5 weeks or so. The Big Ten has not announced anything yet. The Big Ten will be playing conference games only, but they haven't announced a start date yet. But we can tell you that the Big 12 has agreed to play 10 games. They're going to play nine conference games, and then one non-conference game. And they're going to have a start date in a couple of days. It's probably going to be they want to be aligned with everybody else, so they might wait till September 26th, but they might start, I don't know. Supposedly the SEC wants them to wait, so they're all in conjunction so they can play playoff games after and blah, blah, I don't know, whatever. But the Big 12 is playing, but I can tell you the ACC is starting September the 7th. So the ACC is the one kicking off as usual. Big Card Julio's cashing winners with these unders in the National Hockey League, except in his backyard, the Windy City, where we bet the overs in these hockey games. What's up, Julio? What do you got for us?
Well, already the over six is posted at -122 for Blackhawks Oilers. I'm jumping on that. I'm jumping on over 6.5 at +123. I'm going to jump at over 8.5 goals at +343. That game's not until, what, Thursday? But I'm jumping on those prices anyways, because I'm sure the public's going to steam the hell out of those prices here locally in Chicago. But as you mentioned, game under 5.5 goals, 9-3 in the NHL playoffs. Let's keep riding these unders, shall we? Under 5.5, -148, Islanders, Panthers. I'm going to do under 6 just to pay the little insurance at -180 for Leafs, Jackets. But I'll also take under 5.5 at -110. Under 5.5, Jets and Flames at -134, -120 for Canes and Rangers at under 5.5, Wild and the Canucks, -137 at under 5.5. And then I'm gonna do a parlay under 6.5 goals for all of those matchups at +201. Give me the Twins on the run line against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh demoralized today. Their bullpen gave up another lead in the game against the Twins. Give me over 9, -114, Rays, Red Sox, my red-hot Chicago White Sox. Keep it rolling, baby. They're going to be the favorites by the time people wake up in the morning. They're dogs right now at even money. Give me the Sox at even money. -1 at +143 against the Brewers. Over 9, Seattle and the Angels. Fade the Angels. Their bullpen's terrible. -115. Madison Bumgarner's pitching for the Diamondbacks. The Astros left runners at a huge rate in scoring position against the Angels over the weekend. We're lucky to get the series win. Give me the Diamondbacks. The price isn't posted, but I suspect Bumgarner and the D-backs will be huge underdogs tomorrow. Give me the D-backs. May the winners be ours, everybody.
Big Card Julio. Good stuff. May the winners be yours, Julio, and all of ours. As Big Card Julio once again lives up to his name. Big Card right there. But there's a lot of sports going on. A few too many baseball plays for my liking. If you tune into Game Time Decisions today, we were pretty successful on the diamond with these baseball props, with the strikeout props. I'm enjoying those. We'll give you our best bets on the other side, but I like where Julio's going. Like we said, so it's 9-3 to the under in a 12 playoff game so far in the National Hockey League. I don't think they're all free unders tomorrow, all right? There's got to be a game where there's going to be an empty netter here. Something's going to happen there. But with that being stated, the first game up, the Islanders and the Panthers, no reason to believe that that game turns into a track meet. The Arizona game is a little weird. The Toronto game as well, you would expect goals in a Leafs game, but it probably does stay under again. Sports Rage continues on the other side.
Sports. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
All right, great job by the parlay producer. Midtown Manhattan this evening. Studio 34 in the house. I am Gabriel Morenci. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. Bagels and Bad Beats coming up with Scott Wetzel. And don't forget to tune in to Scotty Farrell, the legend himself, right before this show on these same radio stations that you're listening to us on right now. Another quick show tonight. The fastest 120 minutes in sports, as usual, as the playoffs are alive and kicking in the National Hockey League. And the unders are the unders. It's a Gravedigger special, guys. 9-3 to the under to 12 playoff games. So let's not overthink things. Let's start off in the morning, noon Eastern time, with the Florida Panthers and the New York Islanders. We'll take the New York Islanders -125, and we'll go under the 5.5. Probably, you know, 3-2 game, maybe 2-1, 3-1, 3-2. But I think the Islanders get it done again, -125, and the under 5.5. We're going to pass on the Coyotes and the Preds game. The Maple Leafs and the Blue Jackets, well, man, I'm really not in love with laying 70 cents with this Toronto Maple Leaf team, but the series is on the line. If the Leafs lose tomorrow, you know they're not coming back. They're not winning three straight games after that. So that's not happening. I am going to go under the number. So I'm going to go Toronto, and we'll go under 5.5. We're on Winnipeg to win this series. We've taken the Jets in both games, and we've taken the under in both games as well. It's another tough one, but we're going to go back to the under again. I tell you that. We're going to go back to the under again. The Rangers and the Canes, man, these guys are right back at it. And they've been playing during the day, so they got a prime time game. No rest at all. For the New York Rangers, their backs are against the wall. Carolina are going to eliminate them. I think it'll be done. I think Carolina eliminates them tomorrow night. NBA basketball, the first game up at 1:40 Eastern. Milwaukee are laying 17.5 against Brooklyn. I don't want to touch that. But I will take the Sacramento Kings. I'll take a look at the Kings and the Mavericks to go over the number. But our big play to start off the day will be on the Islanders and the Panthers under. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.